The only thing the committee was going to ask for, and it doesn't have to be now, but talking through with our field reps as far as going every week during the winter, because there's going to be elements out there.
No doubt.
Whether there's a few of us that walk our routes, there's going to be sleet, freezing rain. You've got somebody like Brandy, who she's got like a 70-mile commute, and uses somebody to drive her. So there might be some issues in the winter that, you know, it's not excuses or laziness. It's just the you know, what presents itself from week to week. So going weekly, you know, if we have to, it's collectively, we say this, we'll be there every week, you know, because that's how important this program is to us. It's definitely putting a bridge based on what happened during COVID and where we are now. So nobody wants to see this go away, and we'll do whatever's necessary. But we were just thinking in the winter months, if there could be some leniency, I should say, based on weather. You know, it's not excuse or laziness. It's just the safety of people being out there on their feet or in their cars. But by no means do we want to see this go away because, you know, we're having those type of issues.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, when we talk about elements, no doubt, if there is a situation in which, you know, your safety, or you feel your safety based on your route or what have you, is potentially a concern, then yes, you can, you know, it's case by case. That's what I'm going to say. Let's make it case by case, and it's not a one for all. So, you know, in the case, let's say you are covering Hartford, and I don't know, Angel, you're covering Middletown. It's not snowing in Middletown. It's snowing crazy in Hartford. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be. I'm just hoping that I'm not. I don't want a group text to go out saying, "Hey, are you guys doing your route this week?" Because, you know what I mean? It should be case by case, and I need you to send your field rep and copy me in as well on your request to, you know, I don't know, skip a week or whatever the case may be, or day or whatever. But my suggestion is try your best. Try your best, do your best, but don't obviously put your health on in line. One thing that I did want to add, and it was just a thought, and I believe I shared this with Brandy. Her and I had a conversation just recently, but this is nothing to really build off of this conversation. But I was thinking, well, two things, two points. One, if anyone's having a lot of trouble with one of their buildings and you want to maybe switch out responsibilities for another location, by all means, you can. That's number one. So, you know, if you're going to a place that you just haven't developed a comfort by now, you know, month three, and you prefer somewhere else, just let your field rep know, and they'll work with you on, you know, amending your route responsibility. Followed by that, and it's just a thought of mine, and it doesn't have to apply to everyone, but I was thinking that should anybody want to, you know, maybe do routes by quarters, different routes by quarters, by all means, I have no problem with that. And just to kind of briefly touch on that, and I can expand on that in writing, but let's say if you all, so you all currently have your current route now, right? You've done it for 3 months, you're heading, you know, heading to the fourth month or what have you. You know, if you by any means want to say, you know what, I think the next 4 months I want this block of business, you know, go to your field rep, hey Dave, can you carve out another route for me, you know, in this dollar range, blah 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 blah, I'd like to oversee this, I kind of just want to change up my route, by all means you can do that, because at the end of the day, this is about satisfying and laying eyes and being responsible and overseeing the vending machines on the statewide vending contract. That's what this is all about. This is about ensuring that we are providing the best service we can under this agreement. It's not about your individual buildings per se, but it's, I'm looking at it as big picture. So when you look at it big picture, it, you know, for me, it's a win if an operator says, you know what, I'd like to switch out and do 4 months somewhere else. It's a win because now you've identified, you know, your weak machines or what have you over the last 3 or 4 months. Hopefully there's been corrective action to that point where you're confident enough to, you know, be able to move on to a new section of machines and new buildings and, you know, obviously provide your services directly to Pepsi and your third-party provider to strengthen that business in those buildings. So it's only a win. But I just wanted to throw that out there. If anyone's interested in that, obviously you can email your field rep, and then we can have discussions in regards to that. So I just wanted to throw that out.
One more thing, going back to getting into some of our facilities again. Some operators having different troubles than others. I lucked out. A lot of my building contacts is the building manager, so I'm only bothering the building manager, and she comes down and escorts me. Some other operators are getting they're getting a lot of havoc at the door, like trying to get in. You gave us those letters. Some places they worked for me. Others, you know, they're getting comments like, "Oh, I could have typed that at my house." So we understand that there's no way we're going to be portrayed as state employees and getting state badges. But is there any? Could we think of something? Maybe just identifying who we are—that we're a vendor through BESBE. Just saying what we're there to like maybe a picture ID, but nothing through the state, you know. But I wasn't sure. Maybe a business card, something along that line. People think that they might get a little further with some sort of an identification badge, kind of like, you know, you see the guy outside your house looking at your meter and he says he's from the, you know, the electrical company. Well, he's got no badge, no nothing, you know, who is he really? So I don't know if there's anything we could think of to make it easier on some of the operators to get into some of their locations. Again, absolutely. These are just some of the issues that are coming up, that's all.
Yep, no, definitely. Let me think about it. Let me, you know, speak with Carol and see if see if there's a possibility. I don't know, maybe if we go to state route, maybe a unauthorized state employee ID or something like that, maybe we can go that route. If not, then let me think about it. But yeah, I can maybe provide something above and beyond that letter, for sure. I think I should be able to. I don't see why not. But
well, we figured we'd throw it out there. The worst we could say is, there's nothing we can do.
Right.
If there was something to let these guys get a little bit more, to get quicker access to do their job. Because that's all we're looking to do. We're just trying to get in and do our job and do what we need
that's
to
it.
Do. It's the hurdles that get in the way that make the things a little longer on our parts and a little more difficult. But if we're able to just get in, you know, we'd be out of their hair in less time than it is for them to hold us up at the front door, you know?
So I get it. And again, guys, I want to just be clear. I do feel bad. I do feel bad when you guys are faced with, I'll just flat out say, ignorance in your day-to-day. You know what I mean? I don't like it. It's not, I don't carry the mentality of suck it up. I just, you know, I'm just thinking, guys, you guys have done, if you've been going every week for 3 months, at some point, I would assume that the individual who's constantly letting you in would either adjust their, you know, their personality if it's not the best, or, you know, just kind of slide you in a little bit faster. But I get it. Some people take their jobs really serious. Some people bring their problems to work. So, you know, you're always working with different mentalities day to day. But yeah, let me see what I can do to kind of strengthen your abilities when you're tasked to oversee your prospective vending machines. And I'll definitely get back to you all in regards to that, for sure.
Yeah, and other than that, speaking with the committee, that was really all we had to bring to the table as far as the vending, the pilot vending program. But we are, as I already mentioned, very appreciative of it, and we hope that it continues moving forward, because it's really saving people, for lack of a better, you know. At these difficult times, as we say, it's really saving people, and you know, I think everyone, and I hope we can expand it, you know, to other people. So I'm happy for the people that took part this time. Is there anyone else that has any questions or comments on the pilot vending program while we're on the topic?
This is Rich. If I could, I just wanted to piggyback off the last thing that you said there, Keith, with, you know, the difficulties getting through the buildings, and the badge would be a big help. In a situation like mine, I'm speaking for myself, I'm not speaking for anybody else, but at UConn Medical, I barely see the same person twice at the front desk, and it's the same thing. They have no idea what we're doing there. They have no idea why we need to go look at the vending machines, and I have to explain to them. It's just a random audit, a routine audit that we do once a week. I said, if you were here every week, you'd see me, but unfortunately, they have different people for different shifts, and we go on the weekends, and there's always different people on the weekends. So, again, I think that maybe some form of identification, as far as, you know, a little bit, you know, makes it a little bit clearer for them to understand that we're there to do a job, not just to roam the facilities, you know?
Yeah.
That was my two
cents. No, absolutely, absolutely. And let me just add my two cents off origin. There's places I go to that I find myself having to explain who I am for half an hour. So, you know, let's be clear. Even with my state ID, I still get the face of, huh? You know, so do I think that's going to completely be dismissed with it? Not at all. But I definitely do believe it should, you know, strengthen it a little bit above and beyond as to what you guys are currently being faced. But I also want to add to this, and then we can move on from the pilot, but keep in mind, for all of you that are part of the pilot, you still have the responsibility of ensuring that all of your responsibilities as an operator program are up to date, because the opportunities can be pulled from you as well for not being responsible. And what I mean by that, for those who have outstanding insurance payments, please do your part to pay your insurance. For those of you who are going to be delayed on your Schedule Cs, that could potentially affect you. For those of you who are participating in the retirement and you have the late payment, that could potentially affect you. Like, we need to really clean things up. I have an inkling that in the next year, we're going to be a state that's going to be monitored by RSA. And I want to make sure that when we are monitored, that we are in good position, especially when explaining how we expand our opportunities, because it's essentially an audit on the program. So I want to make sure that all our I's are dotted and T's are crossed. So if you owe anything of your respective responsibilities, please catch up. So I just wanted to add that to that. And I'm done. I promise I'm done with pilot.
Well, I'm not. This is Shelley. Well, not really pilot, but it covers the whole gamut of vending. Has the conversion completely, is now complete with the pricing and everything? Everything is now adjusted at this far in the year. We're all set now.
What are we talking about? The price adjustments for Pepsi?
Yeah.
No. Pepsi, we have 1,300 vending machines out in the state, throughout the state. Pepsi still remains, you know, they have their issues, employee issues, equipment issues, so forth. So they're active. Obviously, they want to do it as fast as they possibly can, as well as the third-party vendors. But I've gotten some feedback that some locations have not been changed over. No, but they're active, actively doing it.
Are we supposed to be reporting that at all? Like, mine haven't been changed. They're still the same prices. But if it gets into like January, February, are we supposed to report that to our field rep by chance? Or
Yes, I want to hear about it, Keith. So for all, and I'll send an email out, because obviously everybody that's participating in the pilot, it may not be on the call, but I will send an email. Yes, I want to hear about your in detail in regards to any location in which you haven't noticed the pricing, so we can kind of, I can send that to Pepsi to get an update as to when they project those to be switched over.
Did all prices change or only some? All prices are supposed to be adjusted. Is that correct?
The majority, I'll say, yeah. Yeah, I'll use for like, yeah, I'll say all prices. Because there might have been like two things that we held them on. But yeah, the other 98 things we agreed to. So yeah, and it's going to be interesting come January 1 too, because if I'm not mistaken, the 10-cent bottle deposit starts I believe January 1. So
how are they're gonna empty out all these machines and re-put them back?
No, I don't think they'll do that.
Let supplies run out.
But it's just interesting for future talk and things like that. So 2024 is going to be an interesting year, I'd say.
Oh, my gosh.
For the vending world. But, yep, that's what I got.
All right. Moving right along. Next on the agenda under new business is the first right of refusal for the Greenwich Golf Course.
Yeah, so I'll just add a little context, and then I'll put the mic back to you, Keith. Greenwich reached out a couple weeks ago in regards to, you know, Besby's first right. I they were nice enough to fork the RFP that was the draft RFP, which kind of gives us the sign that, yeah, they kind of forgot about Besby, or, you know, they might have got stopped at the door when they were going to forward out their RFP. But anyhow, sometimes I find RFPs to be much more beneficial than just doing, you know, question and answers, because you get a little more detailed with that. With that said, we were able to get the RFP, in which I forwarded to you all. The operation is pretty much a seasonal style operation. I did go down Friday to kind of lay eyes on it. I was able to speak to the current manager in place. And the operation is bigger than what I anticipated. And I don't mean in size, but just roles and responsibilities. So above and beyond, obviously, offering food at this location, there's a full bar in which we require us to obtain a liquor license. In addition, the hours of operation are somewhere like 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday during the season. They do a lot of live bands, which they are responsible and which the golf course wants. So they have a lot of live bands in which they seek out to do different parties and so forth. They host parties inside of the operation. Employment is challenging from speaking with the manager, in the sense that obviously you get a lot of college kids who initiate work, but then, you know, kind of fizzle out quickly out of the operation. The place has to be double staffed in the sense, because you're covering essentially almost three shifts and no one's getting 40 hours. So you have a morning day. We have it's two shifts, because you have the morning and the day, and then you have the evening shift. So he says anywhere to 10 and 12 employees are required. And it's like anything else, it's, you know, predicated off of good weather. For the most part, and they felt the effects this previous season during the weekend. However, you know, during the week it was cool, but busy in the sense of as a manager and just maintaining the roles and responsibilities for this location. So I did send you all this information. There's licenses fees, I believe $45,000, if I'm not mistaken, and up from there. And I just personally don't believe we're in a position to take on this opportunity this quickly. You know, I have my hat in some things out in the Southern District of the state, as in regards to, you know, maybe being able to make a connection to provide or get folks that are in the program interested in taking on these larger facilities in the future who have no experience trained. So I'm working on that with some folks, and I'll give you all a little more detail once I have it. But I am trying to establish relationships out that way to hopefully be able to put operators in a position in which they're confident enough to, you know, maybe take on an opportunity like this in the future. But for now, I don't think this is an opportunity in which we should seek at this time. But I will push this back to the committee for the conversation.
Yeah, the liquor license itself scares me.
Yeah,
that's a lot of responsibility. I don't know who would take the. Do you know? Would that? Well, the agency probably would be on the operator. Who would obtain the liquor license? I guess is my question.
I've heard through the grapevine, and I don't know if I was even here for it. I just don't recall if I was. But I've heard years ago there was an operator who ran a facility that had a liquor license. But I don't know who ran it. But I can tell you kind of today, in just some of our past experiences and when situations were somewhat gray, we typically would have to tap into the AG's office, Attorney General's office, for clarification. Yeah. Do I think we would be able to obtain one? I think the operator may be able to obtain one.
I don't
see Besby being the certified liquor license holder at all. So, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't at all foresee that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I actually have an answer to this. I had a liquor license before. The liquor license has to be in the person's name. It can't be in an agency's name or a company's name. It has to be in a person's name. And they have to be able to pass a detailed FBI background check. And it is, there's different licenses. Like, there's a beer and wine license, but it sounds like they would want the full liquor license, which is probably about $2,500, plus insurance and all that other good jazz. And you have to insure not only the business, but the person that has the liquor license also has to be insured.
Right, and so that would, yeah, that would all be individual.
And the facility.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I said the liquor license itself scares me, because there's a lot that goes, there's a lot of responsibility. Well, you know, if your staff overserves somebody and something happens, it's going to come back on the program. That's my first thought is, you know, the legalities of it.
Right.
Well, I know that we've been, you know, tapping into partnering with people as far as larger operations, not involving liquor, of course, but is that something that maybe, I'm not saying for this one in particular, but anything that opens up down the road, maybe we can look into somebody, a company, a restaurant, or whatever, that would be willing to take something on seasonally and partner with the program and put an operator in a position to, you know, earn a commission after to what they bring in or something like that. Is that something that we could maybe potentially think about?
Absolutely, and I think that's where we're headed. I think that's what this program has now developed into, is that, you know, we have to remove our inability to use our hands, but our ability to use our minds. And so with that being said, yes, we have first right. So how do we utilize that? And so in the case of when opportunities like this present itself, and let's say if anyone on this call at any point, should you say, you know what, I want to position myself for a bigger opportunity, well, you have to kind of do your due diligence in the sense of saying, all right, if this is what I want, it's okay to start reaching out to some of your, like you said, some of the local restaurants in the area to say, hey, this is a, you know, typically our agency gets first right for this opportunity. Should this opportunity come back around, would you seriously be interested in partnering with us, or with me in particular, on this venture? And, you know, kind of establishing your relationship. There's only so much our program can do in the sense of, you know, guiding an operator to an opportunity. It now becomes you wanting to position, getting yourself in line for such opportunity, because at the end of the day, when this agreement is set forth, the agreement is, yes, it's, you know, Besby and, let's say, Town of Greenwich Golf Course, but the relationship, your agreement, your operator's agreement is going to be Besby and you, you know, in this case, let's say Rich, you. Now, how you choose to run your operation, you know, if you should choose the partner, then that's something that could potentially be considered. So I'm always with, the worst we can do is try to position ourselves for the opportunity and, you know, move all the way to the point until we either get the yay or nay. So creativity is what's going to push this program.
Harold, this is Shelley. Well, I know right prior to COVID, I inquired about a liquor license in the city of Hartford. The one question I did not ask was, is that a state requirement? Because the answer that I asked the question that, well, basically, they basically told me you have to have the business already to apply. So you can't just go off the street and apply for a liquor license. You already have to have the entity established.
That makes sense.
The one question I never asked was, is that a statewide, or that was just a Hartford or Hartford County thing? But that's what I was told.
It's statewide, because because typically, in just thinking out loud, usually whenever you see a restaurant who offers liquor, there's typically the sign like "open soon," and then there's this big wooden sign that says this entity has applied for a liquor license.
Right.
You know, and it's usually 90 days or something. Yeah.
Right. You need the entity to already be established for you to even apply for one and to even be considered. The entity already has to be there. So the partnering thing, maybe we'll cross that bridge and we get to it, but we'll see how that moves forward. But the entity already has to be there.
Right. Unless the partnership is with an established restaurant who just wants to spin off and offer, you know, their services. So.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right,
So from my understanding of this, if you have an experienced restaurant owner that's your friend who has a liquor license already, and you have this opportunity, you can partner with them in this without getting your own liquor license?
I would have to see, because we'd have to see exactly whose name would be on the, exactly. The responsible person, because the key to this is your opportunity, right? So Karan, say if you were going for this location, this is a Besbee Greenwich, but this is a Karan in Besbee, you know, your license in our program is you, so you should be the face of it. Now, if a restaurant has that ability or already has that license, I think that's something that we'd have to identify, if maybe you can be placed on their existing license. I'm not sure. I can't speak on what would actually be required at the time until we're up to that, you know, faced with that situation.
Shelley again, Carol. Like we said, we've got opportunities to talk to other RSA people and BET operations throughout the country. Does anyone know of anyone else or any other state or any other entity who's a part of Randolph Shepherd who has a liquor license and is actively utilizing it through RSA?
If not, I can pose the question, because I'm on a chat with all the directors throughout the country. So I can pose the question on this chat group to gather additional information on out of state. But, you know, that different states do different things.
Different things, right.
Yeah, I think what I'll do is I'll talk internally and pose the question internally, just to kind of see if it's feasible, if it's allowable, and then I'll follow back up with you all as to what information I gather. So,
thank you.
Any other questions or comments on this particular location? We're going to be looking for a vote too, so I wasn't sure if anyone had any discussion before we move to accept or deny this location.
Oh, vending opportunities. Is there vending opportunities? Yeah, right.
Oh, so there's one place that you sent recently, Tyrell, that did say something about if vending machines wanted to be placed, it would be overseen by the concessionaire. I'll say that. I could be confused.
No, I was still talking about Greenwich.
I understand that. I'm just not sure which one I'm talking about, whether it's Greenwich or Fairfield. One of them said if the concessionaire wanted to place vending machines, but that's where the question comes in. Would we still get the first right of refusal for them placing vending machines in one of those locations?
It's funny you ask, right? So as I'm talking to the manager in Greenwich, we were talking and we were just kind of going over the RFP. He hadn't even seen the RFP. But I said, yeah, I said, within this RFP, I noticed that there's reference to vending machines. I said, I don't know what the committee is going to, you know, the decision on the actual operation. However, what I do know is I'm going to have to reach back out to the town and ask that they withdraw the vending, because it's the town of Greenwich that has that language in there. And so, he says to me, well, you know what? He goes, that's fine. He says, because we were actually going to be pulling out the vending machine, because if the machine never works, and I turn around and it's a Pepsi machine. I'm like, well, we'll resume operation, but I'll make sure to get a better machine in place. He was like, oh, that's fine. So they have one vending machine there now, and it just so happens to be Pepsi. But I think I've stated this to Keith in the past. Anytime we, and you guys can always reference this in your decisions, but I just want to let you all know, and you probably should just reference it, but anytime we waive a location, it's just standard language in our waiver that we will retain any vending in place or for future needs or what have you, in so many words. So I always look to make sure we retain that. But yes, they actually have a Pepsi vending machine in there now.
Okay.
All right. So anyone from the committee want to make a motion? I'm kind of with Tyrell. Like, this maybe down the road could be a good opportunity for us if we start to move in that direction, but it seems like a monster to get to get off the ground right this particular moment with the, you know, not knowing about the liquor license and this and that. So my opinion would be to waive it, but